Yamadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome, friends, to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Hi, welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. This week, Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is reminding us that miracles aren't just biblical stories.
About 5 years ago, I was invited to speak at a conference. It was a conference for men, and I was asked to preach on the Sunday following the conference on the Saturday. And the conference was for real men. That was the theme of the conference. Being a real man is okay for God. There was two speakers. I was one of them. And there was another speaker. He was from Australia, but he spent the last 10 years living in America as a rodeo rider. I mean, he was tough. He could ride broncos. And he had a wonderful testimony that for years he rode on the rodeos. And the problem was that he didn't have a vehicle to get around. So he started getting lifts from rodeo to rodeo. And he actually got two Christian guys decided to give him a lift between rodeos. They didn't preach to him, he said. They just talked to each other about God and how good God was. And after the third rodeo, he got saved. And he was speaking at this conference with me. I had my car stolen earlier in the week. And I was at another conference for Aboriginal counsellors. And I asked the council to fly me to Coffs Harbour so that I could speak at this conference. And a Christian guy from my church said he'd come over and get me and bring me home. And so that was really good of him to do that. We arrived on the Friday night and we just started sharing with each other as evangelists do. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I got a driver with me because I got a neck problem. It's a reoccurring injury from my rodeo days, he says, and I can't turn my head, so I couldn't drive down here, so I had to bring a driver. And the driver that he brought with him was a member of his congregation. He, after being saved, he was an American. He was a drug dealer in Mexico. He was quite interesting to listen to as well. And after spending the night sharing stories, you know, war stories about evangelistic trips and how good God is, we got up the next morning and we was heading to the conference. And I said to God, I was up praying early and I said, God, I want you to heal this guy. And I know you want it too. So I said, God, can you give me a sign? I need a sign from you that if I pray for him, you're going to heal him because, you know, he's an evangelist, he's a preacher. I'm an evangelist, Lord, and we don't want to pray for each other if you're not going to do something because we're going to look stupid in front of the other person. You know, we're stepping out and saying we're going to pray for you and God doesn't turn up and do anything. So, you know, I was a bit wary about this and I said, okay, God, I'm going to need a sign from you that you're going to heal him and then I'll pray for him. Anyway, we're driving into Coffs Harbour and we was about 10 or 15 minutes out from Coffs Harbour where we were staying. And while we was driving there, God said to me, ask them that the driver to take you to a beach. Now, there's a lot of beaches between along the coast there to Coffs Harbour. And you've got to understand this, that I couldn't pick a beach and say, well, I'm going to go to this one because I was not from the area. I said to the driver, I said, can you just take us to a beach? I just need to pray before we go to the conference. And he said, well, which beach? I said, well, you just pick one. Anyway, he drove past about three signs, says to the beach. And then he turned up the fourth one. Anyway, we pulled up in the car park. And then it was a funny little beach because where we pulled up in the car park, you're going to walk down. And when you got down the stairs onto the sand, you turn left and go to the waves or you turn right and go to the cliff face. I didn't want to go where the ways was. I wanted to go away by ourselves to pray. And these two guys were with me. And we turned right. But, you know, a bit like the old Robinson Crusoe story, there was no foot tracks in the sand. There was no footprints. And there was nothing. It was just clear and smooth. But as we got over towards the cliff face, carved in the sand was the letters Grace. No footprints. Nothing. And the letters were 20 foot long. carved in the sand was the word grace. And I knew that God had been there before me, and God had carved in the sand with his finger the words grace. Because then I knew that God was going to heal this guy when I prayed for him. And this neck injury had troubled him for years and for years. And every now and again, he couldn't turn his head at all. And I said to him, I said, listen, God wants me to pray for you and God's going to heal you. And I just prayed for him very simply and just asked God to do something. And I believe God was going to do it. God didn't heal him over a period of weeks. God didn't do it over a couple of hours. God healed him instantly. He was instantly healed. So much to the point that he wanted to drive the car when we got back to the car. And, you know, we praised God and thanked God for the miracle, and he got in the car and he said to his driver, I'm going to drive to the church. And when we get to the church, we did the conference, and at lunchtime, this lady who came to the church to help with the other ladies to serve the meal, because there was probably 100 guys there. And most of all, there was about 20 or 30 youth, and I'm talking kids from about 12 to 20, involved in this conference. Some of the women stood just inside the doorway so they can hear what was being said anyway. And I've done a lot of men's breakfast and men's conferences, and women always seem to to volunteer to help her because they get blessed by what's being shared. And this woman, she was standing in the doorway and God said to her, if you invite him home, he'll come for tea. And she said, but God, she said, we don't have anything to give him. We got nothing to feed this man if he comes home for tea. And God said, just ask him to come. It'll be okay. So she said to her husband, who was sitting in the conference at lunchtime, she said, can you invite the black fella home for tea? Because God wants us to have him home. And she said, okay, that'll be great. He come and asked me, and I said, look, no problem. I will come for dinner. Remember the old movie with Spencer Tracy and Sidney Poitier? I guess he's coming to dinner. And they're inviting the black fella home for dinner. When you invite Tony home for dinner, you get more than Tony because I didn't have a vehicle all weekend and I was staying 15 minutes out of town. And one of the youth said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, is it all right if we hang out with you? Because we were so blessed by what you shared today. We want to hang out with you and spend time with you. And being a typical black fella, I just assumed, well, it's okay if I turn up with these guys for dinner. And they had to come and get me anyway. So we arrived at the door and I said to these people, I hope you don't mind, but the youth want to hang out with me. They want me to minister to them. And I figured I'd minister to you guys well after tea. So is it okay if they come? I saw the look on her face. I mean, she had a horrified look on her face. You know, like, you know, the look you get when you don't realise I'm black and I turn up and you see me at the door and you go, whew, you get that look on your face. And, you know, she had that really horrified look on her. You thought I'd given her a black look or something. Anyway, she said to me, she said, okay. And I said, look, I said, don't worry. I said, we'll chuck some money in and buy some pizza or we'll buy some KFC and add to whatever you cooked. But see, unbeknownst to me, God had a plan. Because you see, this woman, which I didn't find out until the very next day, and I'm going to tell you the story that she shared with her church the next day. When she invited me to dinner, her and her husband were unemployed. It was between paydays. They had $5 between them. $5. And so when they decided that God told them to invite me home for dinner, she worked out what they was going to give me for dinner. So she thought if I buy 3 drumsticks out of the $5, we put some potatoes in that, we make a stew. Well, what we're going to do, she said, is she said to her husband, when we serve it up, you make sure you serve the pastor 2 drumsticks. She said, you take the other drumstick. And she said, and I'll just have the broth with a bit of stale bread. That's how poor these people were. And they said, you know, if we do this right, nobody will ever know that we didn't have anything to feed this man. Yet you can imagine, really imagine why she was upset when I turned up with not just me, not 1 or 2 youth. I turned up with about 6 to 10 youth with me. And we're talking hungry, gutted teenagers. You know, that after feeding them, you think a plague of locusts have went through the place. And when I said to her, I said, look, I'll give you some money, let's buy some KFC. Then God spoke to me. He said, Tony, no, you're not to buy anything. And I said, okay, God, well, what are we going to do? But I still assumed they had plenty of food to feed us because I didn't know any better because nobody said anything to me. And so God said to me, Tony, I want you to sit everybody down at the table. And we're talking at least 12 to 13, maybe 14 people. The pot that she'd got off the stove had a lid on it. It was a huge pot and had a few veggies and stuff in it. And when I told her that we weren't going to buy anything, she was even more horrified. And then I said, God wants me to bless this food. So I prayed over it and I asked God to bless it and to do what he does best. And I just blessed the food and I said to the husband who's head of the house, would you like to serve up the meal? And he did. He took the lid off it and then he put his ladle in and out come 2 drumsticks with a heap of veggies and he put it in my plate. And then he went to his plate and 2 drumsticks came out as well. Now, the host looked really like she was in shock, like somebody hit her with a hammer or something. And then the next time, it just went right around. Everybody got 2 pieces of chicken. not only that, they've got heaps of veggies and everything like that. And the one we ate leftovers and we had seconds, and there was still plenty left in the plot. Then I blessed the dessert with a little bit of dessert. They had to have something out of the freezer that was frozen, and it fed everybody, and there was leftovers. And then that night I shared the word of God with the people, and I prayed for them. And there was a young girl there, and I said to her, I said, "Are you coming to church tomorrow?" And she said, "No, I've got to study for an exam." I said, "Are you saved? Do you know God?" She said, "No." And I said, "Well, I'm going to tell you, if you come to church tomorrow, God showed me you're going to get saved and you're going to pass your exams." Anyway, she did turn up at church and she did get saved. And I found out later on she did pass her exams. But the real miracle was when this woman stood up in church and told everybody that there was only 2 pieces of chicken and 3 pieces of chicken in that pot. And after I prayed and blessed it, there was, you know, enough chicken in that place to feed, in that pot to feed everybody. And there was leftovers. They didn't get paid until the end of the week. And when I prayed for them, I said to them, "God's going to bless you and you're going to get a job. And you'll get a job this week." I'm reminded of a story in the Bible where Elijah went and stayed with a widow. God blessed her because she fed the prophet. And this is what happened with this family. Just like the prophet, they fed me. And not only fed everybody else, with all that they had, they only had a very small amount of food left for the whole week. And rather than trying to balance $5 for the whole week, they shared that with me. And you know, that stew and those chicken pieces lasted a whole week. You know, that's a miracle from God. And you know, I'm also reminded that Jesus fed multitudes, thousands, with a couple of loaves of bread and some fish. Miracles from the Bible days happens today. And it's not just for the Bible time, because Jesus tells us the things that happened in his time, the things, the miracles that he did, we can do that just like he did. We just got to have trust and faith. I was just so touched by this family when they shared with me the next day exactly what God had done by blessing and multiplying the food and giving it, you know, just that little bit extra. And you know what? That same family, they both got a job at the end of the week. And what was so good about them, one of the jobs was they never even applied for it. God was just so gracious, because God, when God told me to, when I pray for people, you know, I hear from God, and God tells me, gives me a word of knowledge and a word for these people. And, you know, and that word was perfect for that family. And it was perfect for those youth, because they got the word of God.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end.
When I first got out of prison, I was living at Glen Innes, and I went to see this evangelist preach. And somebody said to me, because he was there for a week, somebody saw me walking, and somebody said to me, there's something wrong with your back, or your leg, you've got a very bad limp. And I said, yes, I have, I just always in pain. One of my legs was shorter than the other. It was short by about an inch and a half because I had it broken in three places in a car accident when I was riding a motorbike back in the 70s. And I went to church and this guy said, this evangelist said, he said, anybody wants to get healed today, come forward. And I went out and I sat on the chair and he put my two legs in front of him and my left leg was definitely shorter than the other by about an inch and a half. And there's this guy, I'd never seen a miracle like this up close and up front and personal ever before because I'd been in prison for 10 years. Anyway, what had happened was that when this guy started to pray for me, my left leg grew right before my eyes, but it grew out to about 3 inches longer than the other one. And I thought I had problems before, you know, being an inch and a half short. I said, I'm not going to go walking around with, you know, with a 3-inch leg longer. But it didn't stay that way. It grew out 3 inches and then it came back and it leveled up. And because one leg was shorter than the other, my back alignment was completely out. But when this guy prayed for me, I felt an intense heat from the top of my head go right down my body, through my spine and my back, down to the soles of my feet. And then when my leg grew out and then it came back. You know, he asked me to get up off the chair and he asked me to go walking around and see how it felt. And it was so different. I felt so out of kilter for a couple of weeks because I wasn't used to walking with both the legs being the same length. But it did fix me back and it did fix me for good. You know, that was over 30 years ago and my leg hasn't changed since. You know, it's been really good and my back has never been better.
Thanks, Tony, for sharing those amazing stories with us. The songs you heard today were Amy Grant with Thy Word from one of her earliest albums and Faith Enough from Carmen. That's it for this week. Make sure you come back next week to hear more from Tony about the miracles that have occurred in his life and how you can recognise them when they happen in your life. Remember, you can find us on Facebook at King's Kids Ministries International, or you can call Tony anytime on 0427 039 474. That's 0427 039 474. God bless.